I've heard all kinds of different solutions in the workforce. We need skilled immigrants because the boomers are retiring. And in fact, in 2012, I read this week and I was absolutely taken aback by this. In 2012, more people retired in Canada than joined the workforce. And that's a first. And that's going to be more evident as guys my age, you know, the late boomers, as we hit the finish line. You're going to see more and more of that happening. So I hear the argument all the time, what we need in this country is more skilled immigrants. We have to open up immigration to the skilled trades. We have to be better at recruiting other countries' already trained people and unleash them on our workforce. That's the traditional argument. Here's one for you. Maybe we should just have more babies. Maybe, well, it's like I've got I've got five siblings. My wife has six. We had two kids. That's typical of our generation. That is typical of our generation. Why do we need more? Is it strictly for labor? Derek Miedema joins us from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Gary?
Well, apparently I didn't have enough kids, Derek, and it's...
Well, my wife and I have two ourselves, so we're in the same boat.
Well, but that's just it, right? I mean, and somebody asked me once why two, and I said because the car only had four doors, but I was joking. And, you know, when I was a kid, we used to compete for space in the back of the pickup truck. Now you can't even do that anymore.
Yeah,
what is it about kids? Why do we need more kids? Is it just for the labor? Because that sounds agrarian to me.
Well, it's not just for the labor. It's also for what that labor results in. We have government benefits that are given to us, the whole range of government benefits, which have been based on, since World War II, basically, a growing workforce, a growing tax base to be able to support them. We also, as you mentioned, have the baby boomer generation retiring, starting now and finishing in about 25 years or so. And because we've been having so few kids, what we're having now is a stagnant or shrinking labor force, which will eventually result in a stagnant or shrinking income tax base, at least, at the same time as we will be moving into a large number of people in their early to mid 80s who will be, you know, more than will be starting to need long-term care home and higher health care costs. So we're in that situation of, entering into that squeeze, basically.
I've told my kids when I retire, one will get the visa, the other will get the Amex bill. So we do. I understand that graying thing. I understand that we need a tax base, but isn't that what immigration is designed for?
Well, you know, there's two things about immigration. When we look at the numbers between about 2002 and the last decade, on average, well, first I'll say this. If you consider that our population structure is like a population pyramid, what you want is a wide base of young kids and a narrower base as people get older.
Okay.
Right now with the baby boomers, the shoulders are heavy. And so what we've been doing in terms of immigration for the last decade is bringing in between 46,000 and 60,000 kids under 14. But the stats show that in 2010 alone, we're about 109,000 kids short of replacement rate. So that means that in order to bring in enough kids to even begin to balance out the retirement of baby boomers, we're going to have to double or triple the number of immigrants that we have, considering also that we'd bring parents along. But the other side of that is the world around us is changing. It may be that, you know, if China's economy starts to slow down, they're not going to give the crop of their workers, let them leave to come to Canada or any other place. And in other cases, like India, where they have lots of young people, if the economy starts to roar on all cylinders, they're not going to want to leave to come to another country when things are, you know, when there's lots of jobs available at home. So it's not a guarantee going forward either that the current level of immigration is sustainable, let alone that the current level of immigration can, in fact, solve this problem.
Wow. But that's an awful lot. When you consider, and I don't know what you and your wife discussed, but we discussed things like not so much total number of children. That would have been awesome to just keep having as many children as we thought we would enjoy. But you have to draw that line. How many can you afford to educate? What's it going to mean for housing? Are we going to have enough income? You know, everybody has those economic discussions. And today, based on economic discussions, it's pretty hard to say, get out there and make more babies.
Well, it is, because we know, for example, that the cost of housing has gone up an average of over 200% across major Canadian cities since 1976. Incomes haven't kept up to that. We know that taxes have gone up. In 2012, the average tax bill for the for an average family was 44% of income.
Wow.
Education costs have gone up. But we also face, as parents today, the expectation maybe that to be a good parent, we're going to have to get the best crib and the best clothes and the brand name this and the brand name that. And so there are structural costs that have gone way up, but there's also the issue of costs that we can choose whether or not we want to spend that much that have gone up. So there's finances are a definite squeeze. Our own research shows that finances are the top concern for families, whether your kids are in diapers or whether they're in university or anywhere in between.
And should be.
Costs should be paramount.
Yeah, because I don't want anybody living in poverty. That's the other thing. I don't want to see that anymore. The child poverty in this country is already at a ridiculously high rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, and so, you know, that's one concern. Finances is one concern. And there needs to be ways that the government can help parents. But given the fact, looking forward, that our tax base could get stagnant or shrink, our labor force could get growth could get stagnant or shrink, and retirees are going to, the number of retirees is going to explode, basically. We don't have the money now in terms of debts and deficits at the provincial and federal levels to sock out billions of dollars. And we're not going to have the money going forward to do that for huge social programs, to pay for huge social programs to try and raise the birth rate.
Yeah.
We also know that, and I'm one of those, people are choosing to have children later in life. And when I look at my own life, a simple example would be, do I or does anyone want to be chasing a toddler at 50?
You'll never catch them, Derek.
Yeah, that's right. We may lose them.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, if we start having kids in our 40s, then we're not going to have the time and energy to be able to have three or four. That is going to be part of the discussion for people who marry and have kids later in life. That's going to be a big factor.
Yeah. In my own family, at my wife's age, when she had our first, me and all of my siblings were already in school based on, you know, the last generation. So, yeah, we waited a little bit too. But, I always hear people say, I'm not going to have kids till I can afford it. Well, you know what? Guess what? You're never going to have kids. And maybe that's part of the mindset we have to change.
Oh, it is part of the mindset, because along with that is, you know, it used to be that probably for the baby boomers, I would say that you would find someone, you would get married, then you would put the rest in place. You would get your solid career, you would buy a house, you would have kids. Mm-hmm. Now, the prevailing quote-unquote wisdom is that you want to get your education, your job, your house figured out before you get married.
Yeah. So is it as simple as saying if we get a better tax system, if we're allowed to income splitting, that's going to result in more kids? Is it? Can we make that direct connection?
No, there's no one-to-one causal link that we can make. The only thing that income splitting would allow is it would leave more money in the pockets of families. We had calculations done in 2008 based on the taxes there that said a single income family earning $70,000, if they split the income, they would have about $300 extra a month.
Wow.
And so that's money to play with. That's money to, you know, that's no, it's not automatic that families are going to say, okay, then let's have kids. But if that would pay for more diapers, if that would pay for more daycare, if that would pay for different things, then that gives families more financial freedom within which to make this decision. There's no way to force people to have more kids, and I'm thankful for that, because it's a profoundly personal decision. The reality is, though, as you alluded to, research shows that Canadian families want to have more kids than they're actually having.
I'll tell you, I got two friends a little bit younger than I am. Both live and work in Waterloo. One of them has 9 kids. The other has 8. I applaud them. They love all their children. I've never seen 2 men busier in my life because in one case, I think 6 of them play rep hockey.
Wow.
See, you just went, wow. Because there's a lot of the expense right there. It's not half of the babies. It's supporting them in what they want to do. It's a huge commitment.
It is a huge commitment. And I think this is every couple that's asking the question of whether they want more kids is going to have to chew on all the issues that they face. And I want to bring out that some of these issues are structural, that some of these issues are cultural. And we have to chew on this. We have to chew on this in light of where we're headed. The discussion can no longer be about we have too many people. The discussion needs to change and be we have too few kids and we have to do something about it. Immigration can help, but it can't solve. What we need and skills and productivity can help, but it can't solve. If we put more kids together with increased productivity and immigration, maybe we have a chance to start to balance this thing out. But it's really too late to solve it. You know, it's too late to make it a smooth transition. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be rough. The question is, how rough is the transition going to be to the retirement of all the baby boomers? If we have more kids today, we can soften the transition. If we continue as we are, it's going to be rougher.
Okay,
so this is something that we have to chew on, that families have to chew on, that society has to chew on, that this is a real issue we need to discuss.
So the family vehicle shouldn't necessarily be a smart car, and it doesn't have to be a bus. It's got to be someplace in between.
Well, you know, that's a larger question. Are there vehicles, are car companies producing vehicles that are available? I've known people with six kids, that had to buy a Sprinter van, or someone I spoke to earlier had to buy a 15-passenger van because they had 6 kids.
Yeah, well, and then even add more in there, Derek. And that's what you get is a 15-passenger van, and a lot of people don't think they're safe. So, the whole societal thing is geared towards bigger houses and smaller families.
Yeah, and clearly there is no simple solution to this, and there's no one solution to this, but it is at the very least a discussion we need to have. We need to chew on and digest the fact that we need to have more kids if we want to do something to soften the transition into the retirement of the baby boomers. Immigration can't do it. Productivity can't do it. Not on their own. We need also to have more kids.
Gotcha. Derek, thank you. Good to chat again.
All right.
Thank you
very much.
All right.